Hello, and welcome to this episode of Say Something Interesting. This is the follow-up podcast from Eastlake Tri-Cities Church. My name is Megan, and with me is our teaching pastor, Brent.
Hey, guys.
How you doing, Brent?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing good.
It's been a couple of weeks. We're back at this thing.
Yeah. You went and had a vacation in Vegas with all your buds.
All my buds. Our annual trip. This was year 16.
Wow.
If you can believe
it's like
that.
An institution
our
now.
Our trip can drive.
Our trip can drive. Yep.
It's a lot of fun. I did post something on Instagram on Saturday after the Zags won.
Okay.
It says, I haven't left Vegas in 9 years since the Zags haven't been able to make it out of the weekend.
That's cool.
Like they haven't been, which is an unbelievable streak of 9 straight Sweet 16s.
That's really awesome for
them. It's legendary. Yeah. I mean...
But
it was confusing
program.
Because everybody's like, oh, you left, so you should be here. So, like, on Sunday, and I'm like, oh,
No.
There's still one more day of basketball to be
You're
watched.
You're like, there hasn't been a weekend in 9 years where I've left and the Zags haven't made it out of the Sweet 16.
Let me figure out how to rephrase this.
Yeah.
But no, it was fun. We had a great time. It was a small group this year, smaller than usual, but lots of basketball watching to be had. We went down to Jimmy Kimmel Comedy Club.
Oh, yeah.
And got to watch it with Cousin Sal, my guy.
Yeah, didn't you do that last year, too?
I did it last year, and they announced it again. Did I tell you about the announcement?
Well, last year you told me the whole story.
Yeah, so then like 3 days before we left for our trip,
this year,
they announced that they were going to do it again.
Ooh.
Which I had no idea that it was going to happen.
Yeah.
And then it did, and I was so pumped because...
It was like one of the highlights of your trip last year.
It's one of my favorite podcasts to listen to. Cousin Sal's fantastic. He's on Fox Sports. He's Jimmy Kimmel's genuine real life cousin. And all those like hidden camera pranks and stuff like that on Fox. And so anyway, and they recognized us when we walked in.
Oh, are you
like,
serious?
Oh, it's the Gonzaga boys. And we were like, yeah, we're so freaking cool.
That does make you
feel
cool.
It was awesome. One of the guys there who found out we were Gonzaga fans was also a Gonzaga fan who was actually the mascot for 5 years while he was in school there.
That's really cool.
Which is pretty awesome. So he's Nick from Santa Clara. So hi, Nick, in case you're a listener. Definitely not. All right.
I mean, he'd have to have heard about
it. Here's the best part about
this,
though.
Did you tell him you were a pastor at a church?
I did. Told him I was a pastor at a church. And he had a much, I don't want to say cooler job because I think my job's pretty cool. But he's also like the season ticket manager for the NHL team, the LA Kings, which
Nice.
Like kind of a big deal. So it's kind of a big deal. Kind of hanging out with me and Nick. Boys will be boys, you know.
And Cousin Sal recognized us.
And mentioned us in the podcast. I listened to it today.
Oh,
they
really?
Said, yeah, we were back in Vegas this week. The Gonzaga boys were back. I was like, what?
That's me.
That's me. I sent it to all the guys like, guys, we're super famous on this sports betting podcast that nobody's ever heard of. But here's the best part. You ready for the best part?
Yeah.
The best part was Cousin Sal was giving away $10. You'd pick a team and it was like a race to 10 thing. So that's what we did last year. Mm-hmm. So we made money being there. It was free to attend and he's giving money away. We're literally being paid to watch basketball, which is like
your dream.
How do I do this
all the time?
Like where is this happening all the time? And then he was doing some trivia. In between the games or the launches, he would just be like, all right, so who was the leading scorer in last year's tournament, blah, blah, blah. And so I won two of those trivia things, which is awesome. So I got two $10 futures tickets for different teams.
Uh-huh.
One of them was out in the first round, so that's just a toilet paper, basically, is how that ended up being. But the other one's still alive, and it's UConn. So I'm cheering on UConn Husky. If the Zags get knocked out, I'm cheering for UConn.
Uh-huh.
But the best part about it was... one of the guys came up when he's got two little co-hosts that are with him. They're very large men, but, and he came up with one of them, especially large. This is the guy, the most obscure form of trivia ever. So basically he said, all right, Tyler Hansborough is the number one leading scorer for North Carolina. He was there for 5 years, a few years ago. He's blah, blah, blah. That was one of the previous questions.
Yeah.
Who was the fourth leading scorer in NCAA history to be in as a North Carolina Tar Heel? So you're talking like absolutely obscure, useless sports knowledge. And
did
my
you
friend
win it?
Jeremy next to me. My friend Jeremy next to me said, oh gosh, what's his name? Sam. He played for the Sonics. Hold on, just one second. Big Smooth is his name. Sam.
He knew it from the top of his head though, right?
He knew it from the top of his head.
Brent is looking it up.
I am. Sam Perkins. He goes, Sam Perkins. And I swear to you, you could hear a pin drop. All three of the hosts who are, by the way, being live streamed on television to like Ringer TV stuff, like big deal. All
three of them. Were you supposed to shout it out?
Yeah, you're supposed to shout it out. But did not, like, the other ones were like so simple. Like the two that I got were like, I was just fast. That's all it was. This one was like, nobody's going to get this. They asked this trivia question. He says, Sam Perkins. And all three of them turn in their chairs, like the cameras are the other direction. And they go, how did you get that? How did you know that? And Jeremy's like, I don't know. He's a former Sonic, you know, all this kind of stuff. And they're like, the single greatest moment ever. It was awesome.
That is awesome.
It was so funny. So then like the whole rest of the time, all the trivia questions, they kept bringing back in Sam Perkins.
Yeah.
And like, maybe this guy knows it. Obviously he does because he's, you know, whatever. It was fantastic. I'll never forget their face of being like, and these guys do sports for a living.
Yeah, and they're
right?
Like, I can't believe someone got that.
Because
yeah.
I
didn't know that until we looked it up.
I guarantee they didn't know that until they looked it up. And if the guy who came up with the question, the other two did not know who it was, you know.
Yeah.
So anyways, it was phenomenal. It was a great poll. I couldn't believe it. I said, how did you know that? He goes, I don't know, just lucky. Such a great poll. Sam Perkins. I say I'll never forget it. It's only been like 3 days
already
and I just forgot
it.
Who it was. But I'll never forget the face on Cousin Sal when it happened. So it was great.
That's
we had a great
really
time.
Fun.
It was decent weather for the first part, crappy weather at the end, which is fine. There's plenty of basketball people watched. You know, Vegas in the last year, they hosted an F1 race.
Yep.
And the Super Bowl.
Yep.
And it did feel like, and it was noticeably cleaner.
Oh, interesting.
It was noticeably more like construction projects were finished.
Oh, okay.
And development was done. It was really, really nice, actually.
Yeah.
We all noticed. We're like, it seems to be less of a homeless issue thing and less of the people trying to like pass out like little flyers and things and stuff. Uh-huh. It was just a little bit more like, oh, this is like polished up a little bit. Like they had somebody coming over for dinner and you clean up your house a little bit.
Yeah,
you know
you're
what
like,
I mean?
Let's look good.
It was my first time seeing the Sphere.
What's the Sphere?
The new big, you haven't seen the new Sphere?
It's like I've been to Vegas once.
Well, I know, but like this has been like it's a big, ginormous Sphere that's a screen. Like I'll look it up for you.
Oh, okay, I can look it up later.
No,
but
I'm doing it right now because I want you to see it.
It's a screen, like to the outside world.
Yeah. Here.
What does it show? The Earth.
Look, everything.
Oh yeah. Okay.
It's got rotating images.
Where is it?
It's like I don't know, behind the Ferris wheel area. I didn't like go up next to it, but you could see it from anywhere, which is kind of cool. It's kind of like a Space Needle sort of. Oh, it's gonna be iconic on the landscape
got
of
it,
Vegas and yada yada. But that's the first time it wasn't open last year, so this is my first time
seeing
it.
That's cool.
So all of that good stuff. I came back with $3 to the good in my sports betting account.
Hey.
Which is great. Anytime you don't lose, it's great. I was behind. I was playing from behind, and I hit my last bet of the weekend to go up $3. And I think I tipped the guy like two of those dollars. So I think I made a dollar.
Nice.
But I had a lot of fun doing it. So $1 worth of entertainment. No, and that doesn't include the free money I got from Sal. So really, I'm up like $60. But it was great. A lot of fun.
We won't tell the world how much you lost.
Never ask those questions. No, he's actually really a positive, like unbelievably, I did really well at blackjack, which is fun.
Oh, fun.
We played in two poker terms and our friends, we all just kind of like, if anybody places, we all get money and we'll just split it up. And Ryan won at like 1-1 and got second in another one. And so it was like, thanks for being my friend. And
I'm glad you're good at poker.
Giving me my money back on this thing. And we had a great, I met, I played poker. Actually, I knocked him out. The former provost of Wake Forest University.
Oh.
I know. He was like a totally academic. You could tell just like watching him. And really nice guy. Super nice guy. And unfortunately, his ace four did not beat my ace two. I stuck a two on the river and sent that guy packing. So it was great. A lot of fun. He makes like, I don't know, 10 times more than me. No, I was maybe like, 100 times more than me.
He's doing great.
Yeah, he's doing fine. Yeah, his little $75 buy-in. He's like, you know.
Yeah, he's like, have fun.
Yeah, exactly.
You're welcome.
Yeah. How was your like last 2 weeks?
I don't know. Pretty normal.
You're building up towards your excitement is coming.
Yes.
Spring break is next week.
Correct.
So you were just talking on the way on the walk upstairs. You count things in
I
terms count of future
by,
sleeps
by wake ups,
and you have four more wake ups.
I have four more wake ups
before the spring break thing.
Yes.
Any big plans for spring break?
No, I think my sister is coming into town. My mom's birthday is on Monday. I think some yard work. I think that's like
man.
I'm feeling
I got home
excited
and
about.
I realized I'm behind on the yard work already.
Yeah. I mean, I probably should mow. I don't really want to. We'll see if that actually happens, but just like some prep, like, I don't
it's
know, garden
weeds
prep
for
and
me.
Stuff.
The springtime weeds where I'm like, I got to get on it. Otherwise it just gets too hairy. And then I got, so not
we'll see
that.
What I feel excited about doing. But, I don't know. I don't have any big plans. Nothing like no like trips or anything. Are you guys doing Tahoe again?
We are. We're driving next week.
Nice.
Yeah, driving down for a couple days. It'll be great. We're going with the Bears, our friends, renting a little house on the north side. Never stayed on the north side before, and gonna just do a bunch of hikes.
Yeah, that's
stuff.
Really cool.
It's gonna be great.
You did the.
They got a ton of snow even last week.
Yeah, you did. So. Well, because my brother lives in Colorado, and they got like 3 feet on March 14th.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Well, I just saw like New Hampshire just got dumped on like 2 feet. Yesterday,
really?
Day before. Yeah.
It's so weird because it does feel like over here, like it's over.
We're but,
heading
I mean,
into summer. But you can still.
It snowed on April 16th a couple years ago.
It snowed on my birthday a couple years ago. April 11th. Remember? You know, of course, that date.
Yeah, Brad, when's my birthday?
20 alarms. It's fine.
Update. Brent still doesn't actually know when my birthday
June.
Is.
June. I know it's in June. That's what I do know. And it's on
after going through every other month.
The 12th.
It's not on the 12th.
No, that is. I'm sorry. Did I say 12? We already did this. We played this game once. I'm not going to play it again. While I was gone, one quick story too. And then this is a family story.
Okay.
Because my family continued to do life without me while they're here. As Kylie was pulling me out to drive to the airport last week, we saw a chicken crossing the road, and I thought, how appropriate. On the other side of the street towards our house.
Uh-huh.
Then she calls me up a couple of days later. We were chatting and she goes, hey, that chicken, remember that chicken that we saw? Like it's around here. Like it's hanging out. Like it's found a home in our little garden area and we've been feeding it and providing it water.
Oh, no.
And Clive like has named it now. It's like,
did you steal someone's chicken?
I don't know.
Is that the story that
so
you're telling
she's
me?
She's like, it's happening. Well, it gets better. Well, no, not for the chicken. Then she calls me and she goes, hey, it was like Saturday. It did rain here on Saturday.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah,
she
yeah.
goes, yeah, it's raining. And I think we kind of scared the chicken off because there's no shelter for it.
Yeah, uh-huh.
So it's like it probably didn't want to go. So we haven't found the chicken. We don't know where it went, right? And then Kylie sends me a picture the next day and she goes, I think I found the chicken.
Oh, no.
And there are a bunch of feathers behind our house.
Oh, no.
And then she sent me 5 minutes later a picture of a dead chicken.
Oh, no.
And with a shovel. And she going, yep, found the chicken.
Oh, no.
Currently building a burial site. And so then, then Kylie goes, the next day, she goes, I went out on our front patio to go check the mail or do something. And there's this big, giant, fat cat sitting like on the corner of our property that has clearly enjoyed a meal or two recently. And she's like, I'm pretty sure that's what happened to the chicken right there. So I come home and my kids have Bananagrams out. You know what Bananagrams are? Like Scrabble tile letters.
Yeah.
On our kitchen table today, right now, there's a thing that says, rest in peace, little chicken. Chicken Nugget Johnson was the name. Or Nugget Chicken Johnson or something like that.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Like, rest in peace. And so I haven't seen the kids because they've been at school since I got home. But that'll be a fun. It was emotional.
I'm sure they'll want to tell you about it.
Oh, I'm sure.
So.
Yeah. And Joby wrote like a whole story.
Oh,
about
yeah, I bet. It's a good way to process
like
the emotions of it.
It's an obit is what it is. It's she wrote a chicken obit. So she's got some talent, some serious talent.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good. It's
writing
good.
Is definitely her like form of processing stuff.
And her personality is so different in the way that she writes. Like her persona which I'm sure, like, I know I've heard of this before. Like, I remember growing up, I read a bunch of Patrick McManus. Did you ever read Patrick McManus? He was like a humor writer, but from a like outdoorsy sort of angle. Okay. He's an outdoorsman who wrote humor stuff. There was one called They Shoot Canoes, Don't They? That was like his famous one that went viral or whatever. Yeah. And I remember reading him and thinking he was just funnier than Rubber Crutch. I mean, just hilarious, you know? And then he was from North Idaho, where we lived at the time. I think he lived in Boise, maybe, or something like that. So that's not really North Idaho.
I was but like, that's not North Idaho
he
at all.
He lived in Idaho.
Got
and
it.
Whatever. And he had come to the area. My dad went and saw him at do a talk somewhere and was like, it's just his personality is not does not match his writing.
You're
interesting. Like, this feels fraudulent. Like,
yeah.
You're not that funny in delivery, but you're so funny when I read you, right?
Yeah, like, but it's like it's a how are you able to deliver your...
How do you communicate? Whatever, what's your medium, right? And so, and vice versa, there's probably some super funny people that write books and you're like, it wasn't that great.
Yeah.
I mean, how many comedians write books and you're going, I mean, whatever.
It was
it's
okay.
It's fine. Yeah. If you could just act this out, that'd be way better.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a little bit with Jovi in terms of very quiet, very introverted. And then when she gets in her writing, she's very... colorful and it just doesn't match. So
yeah.
I don't know. It's good. I like it. All right. Let's jump into our Sunday recap.
Let's do it.
Since that is the general purpose of this podcast,
usually
is to kind of build upon what we've talked about. Usually it's like, hey, here's kind of what I thought I said. Here's what I wish I would have spent more time on or less time on. Here's something that got cut that made it in. But in this case, I was gone this weekend, and so my mom filled in for me, as she's done several times in the
She called herself, like, the C-team, and I was like, no, Gail. In my head. I didn't say it to her.
Do you not know what
C-team
means, Mom?
But I was like, no, you're not.
Yeah. And she continued our Via Dolorosa series with part three. She talked about communion and... the intentionality behind doing it. She did it in a very unique and different way that we haven't done before.
I know. And I think, like, because, you know, people are creatures of habit. I was there. I was at the first service and everyone was kind of like, oh, okay. Yep. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I have to hold this for a long time.
Like, I didn't actually hold it.
What are we doing?
I stuck it next to me. But
yeah.
And like the chairs, I was on one of the sides. And the chairs were like right up against the wall. There was no like outside path on the end. And so she was like, send a member of your family to go get whatever. And I had let Renee.
Hey, note for the audio, Eric, that's technically illegal because that's a fire lane. So if you could edit that out of the thing.
I mean,
that would be...
if you needed to, you could. It just was like.
I'm just kidding.
Anyway.
Well, no, not really.
Not really. It does need to be. Yeah.
Proceed. Sorry.
Anywho, and I'd let Adam and Anne, Renee, Matthews in. And so I was like, I looked at them and I was like, hey, I'll just get some for all of us. Like, don't.
You just stay there.
Just stay there.
We're all family
today. And they were like, okay, thanks. And they're like, thanks so much. Thanks so much. And I was like, listen, church family, it's fine. You're my family group today.
Totally.
Like,
I worked so hard carrying these three cups. For
yeah,
you.
These extra three cups. I was like, yeah, it's good.
I think
like,
it'll be all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny. That's great. Yeah. And the bread press thing, I actually don't remember that. I don't know if she got that after I left the house.
It's possible.
But she does bake bread and she makes bread. And that idea of my mom thinking of you and praying for you while making you something feels on point and on brand for her.
Yes.
And so I don't think that that's false. I just don't remember the stamped bread thing. But to be fair, they've done far more traveling post-retirement and post-kids than they
ever
did with me.
And most people
home.
Do. And so, like, she said her friend went there, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm sure it's a fairly recent acquisition.
Yeah.
So, it is interesting, though, the, like, idea of a bread press.
Yeah. And she said that several of you listeners, people who attend these, like, came up after service to kind of see it and look at it.
Yeah, she invited people up.
That.
Yeah.
And a couple of you knew... like some of the Greek late letters that were on that. And she was like, man, what do you have? What's going on? Do you have like Greek theologians? You have Greek speakers? And I'm like, no, we have former Phi Beta Kappa from from Wazoo. All the Greek row who are like, yeah, I know Greek.
Yeah.
That's Greek for Keystone Light right there is what that
oh
is.
Oh, my gosh, Brett.
All the Greek row.
We do have some genuinely smart humans who attend our church.
I'm downplaying that. I was laughing about it in the fact that it's...
Yeah, but you also might have a point.
I think I do. I think I do. Yeah, but it was good. I haven't done a specific talk on communion because we do communion kind of on its own deal, and we always go through the slides of what it is, and our typical format is different than that. We kind of do it as an attachment, as an add-on to whatever series that we're doing, and I still want to continue with that methodology, but a more in-depth focus on that, especially in light of the Via Dolorosa and the Way of the Cross and piece of that. I thought it was great. So
yeah, it was cool. It was kind of like her Good Friday sermon.
Yes.
On Palm Sunday.
Yes.
So
because we're not going to be there on Friday.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
And they've done a Good Friday service for the past, I don't know, 7 to 10 years. It's and I always, when people ask me, are we going to do a Good Friday service? I'm always like, no. And here's why. They're already doing a great one. Like,
well, and a lot of churches do a Good Friday service.
You should go to theirs or find one to go to. Unfortunately for us, usually Fridays are rented out or busy.
Yeah,
it's just not been a kind of a part of our tradition. And that's fine. You can only take certain, you know, some things and you have to pass on some things. And I do find value in it. I found my mom would always walk through the Good Friday service being like this very dark and reverent sort of thing that when you leave, it's supposed to just be kind of silence and you leave and it's dark. And that's how you exit the facility and you go into your life. It's not like, hey, thanks for coming, everybody. Shake hands with everybody on your way out. There's none of that.
It's supposed to be really contemplative.
He died and the grave, you know, the stone has been rolled in front. And now the disciples are
it's like that. It's the now what?
Doors. Yeah.
Before the
have a
this.
Great evening. You know, and you're like, ugh. You know, so
yeah,
it's good. Check it out. Anything else that stood out to you?
I'm trying to think. Shoot. Now I don't remember what this is from. I was like, what do you think the disciples were thinking? But I don't know. Like Jesus. Oh, during communion, like when Jesus is saying all those things, right? Like. I just was like, if I was in that room, I'd be like, what the heck is going on? What is he talking about? Right. Yeah. Like it would be so confusing to like try and understand what was happening. Cause like, there's no context. Like I understand now what's happening, but I'm post Easter. Right.
Yeah.
And like in that moment, your friend is saying all this stuff about eating his body and drinking his blood. And and maybe you do understand some of the symbolism, right? Because there's, you know, they have those symbolisms in like their faith already, but still, like, it would be really confusing.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about that and how like confusing that would be for them and how hard that would be to like be in the moment and like try and, because I'm sure they could feel the like solemn, like how solemn Jesus was. I was trying to find a fancier word of saying that. But like, so they're trying to be like in that emotion, but also being like, I have no idea what's going on.
Yep.
Okay. Like what's happening here?
Yeah.
I just was thinking about that a little bit while, your mom was talking of like how confusing that
is. It's true. Yeah. Cause for us, we're so familiar with communion that we probably lose sight of the disorienting nature of what that was probably like for them in that first time. They were familiar with Passover, and so there would have been some familiarity there. But then, obviously, left turns in terms of the language that he decides to use in place of that, and very, like, he said some weird things during that Passover thing, huh?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, anybody else catch on that? Or am I the only one that was like, sorry, what?
Like, the side eye must have been intense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like they would have been like, what?
And probably something that they didn't even realize until after the fact of what all significance was being on display there for sure.
Yeah. The other things I was thinking is I really liked when your mom was talking about how remembrance in like Hebrew is bringing the past into the present, into like the now. And so like when we drink the cup, we're like remembering that God is available to us every day, all the time. And when we like eat the bread, like we're remembering that like Christ is enough for our salvation. And that's a now thing. That's not a past thing. That's not a future thing. Like that's in this moment. Like God is present and Jesus is enough. yeah. like right now.
Yep. Yeah.
So yeah, I think those were my thoughts that I had.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Well, it'll set the stage for Sunday, this Sunday, Easter Sunday, obviously a big one for us, a big one for all of you. Many people come out to church on Easter in droves, just out of a sense of like a moral responsibility or a I'm back in church or whatever. And because of that, we are adding an 8 a.m. service this weekend, designed specifically for people who call East Lake home, who have a little bit more flexibility, are probably a little bit more committed to the cause of East Lake. Not that you're a better Christian or Jesus loves you more, but if you're committed to the cause of trying to be a church for unchurched people, then the likelihood of somebody who's not really into church being like, I'm going to go to the 8 a.m. service is a lot lower than 9:15 or 10:30. So help us make room by showing up early. That would be awesome for us. Mm-hmm. So anyways, that's unique and that's special. And then if you're attending the 8 o'clock, we'd love to put you to work at either the 9:15 or the 10:30 too. So we got some fun stuff planned. There'll be some stuff for the kids. And adults, cross your fingers, we can get the taco truck here or some sort of version of that. We've had mild success with that in the past, so we'll yeah. see how that goes again. But I don't want to build it up and be like, it's going to be awesome. I mean, it's not. So who knows? We'll see. Come and find out for yourself.
Yeah.
And even if it's not there, then, you know, it's still
it's
Easter.
Still Easter.
Yeah, you're going to be fine. So, all right, let's jump into our something interesting. You open, so I get
sure
to go
did.
First. So mine is two part because one is just a standalone. I think I've recommended it maybe every year that we've done a podcast right around Easter time. There's a book that I try and go back to every single year called A Scandalous Beauty by a professor named Thomas Schmidt. And it is a fantastic read that just gets me in the mindset and the mood of East Lake, or sorry, of East Lake, of Easter, of Easter Sunday. And it's a really small, thin, it's an easy read. I know it's kind of late now. You're probably listening to this on Wednesday, church is on Sunday. It's just a good Easter resource, I would say, if you're looking for something that kind of, oh, this Via Dolorosa stuff is interesting. How do I get more of that? I would start with his book because it's artistic, it's creative, his writing's fantastic, and it always just like, I look forward to Easter partly because I have an excuse to pull this back off the shelf and read through it again.
Cool.
And I don't read the whole book every year, I usually pick one of the chapters, but you know, for you, if you're not familiar with it, then maybe start with the whole thing and go from
yeah.
there. And then the second one that I have is one that I haven't experienced yet, but is getting incredible reviews, and I cannot wait because he's one of my favorites. Conan O'Brien recently released a show on HBO,
okay,
or on Max or whatever you want to call it, called Conan O'Brien Has to Go, and it's a travelogue, basically.
Okay, yeah,
he has to go to all
his shows
places.
Are always Conan O'Brien
needs a friend
Conan O'Brien,
yep,
whatever,
all the things, yep.
Yeah.
And in a recent podcast, he genuinely was talking about it, saying this is maybe the best thing I've been a part of in a really long time. And I like everything that he's been a part of. And so I am looking forward to enjoying this. I love travel shows anyways.
Yeah.
It's a lot cheaper than personally traveling to these places. And just in timeline of life, like there's no way I'm going to get to all of these different places.
That's fair.
And so I want you to go. I want you to experience it and tell me about it. And then I pick a few that are awesome and go there too. So, anyways, I'm looking forward to that. So one to look forward to, one to reflect back on, and now it's your turn. The floor is yours.
This is kind of a throwback, but do you remember the show Alias?
Oh yeah. Jennifer Garner. Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, of course you do. it's on Disney Plus. Did you know that?
I think I saw some commercials for that.
And I started rewatching it yesterday.
That's really funny.
Rewatching
Alias. That should be like its own sort of thing.
I know.
Like,
I liked it a lot when it came out.
Sure.
I finished it, if I'm being completely honest with you.
Does it hold up after all these years?
You know what? So far, it's like, I don't know. We'll see how it goes. But did you,
my parents loved Alias.
Yeah.
They loved it.
It came out in 2001. That's when the first season started. Yeah. Do you remember any of the other stars who were part of the early seasons?
Well, her dad is a famous actor.
Yep, yep.
And I don't know his name, but I can see him in my, in my mind. That would be the only one that kind of comes to mind.
Did you know that Bradley Cooper?
Oh, yes, I did know that. Yes.
At least the early seasons?
Yes. Yeah. Is he a recurring character?
Yes.
Okay.
He is one of the, like, one of her best friends.
Okay.
In season one. Yeah. I don't remember how many seasons he's in.
Okay.
But he is in season one as a like semi-main character.
Yeah. Okay.
And
Bradley Cooper.
Yeah. And I was just like, I 100% forgot that you were in this show, Bradley yeah. Cooper. It's definitely early in his career.
Yeah.
His hair is awful.
Yeah. That's that's what I remember seeing is pictures more so than the actual show and him being in that. I do remember later on now seeing pictures of him with that hair being yeah. like, can you believe that this is Bradley Cooper? You can see his face is the same, but like at what point did you drink the cool juice and become yeah. cool?
Because after that show, when he started making more money.
Yeah. He got a barber.
Got a stylist.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. It was fine. I don't know. It's like, you know, it's a situational spy drama show.
What's another show that you can't imagine ever? Because I can't imagine going back and be like, you know what I want to rewatch through? Alias. I just don't see myself doing that. What's another show? Because I think like I would probably never rewatch Boy Meets World, even though it meant yeah. something at the time. Mm-hmm. And that's the key. Like, I'm not yeah. just talking about crappy shows. I'm talking about shows that like left an imprint on you yeah. remember vividly watching yeah. them and enjoying them,
yeah,
but for somebody to be like, you want to go back and watch that, you'd be like, no, I'm good. Yeah. Full House,
honestly,
I remember watching so many episodes of Full House.
I was thinking maybe Full House or Family Matters,
but like all the TGIF
here's
shows,
the thing
right? Step by Step
about me is I think, and I don't know, this is probably some sort of executive dysfunction symptom or something, but, or like anxiety symptom, but I actually really like watching shows I've already seen.
Yeah. Familiarity is fun for you.
And partly because I know what's going to happen. Like there isn't the like stress of not knowing what's going to happen, but also I really like watching shows I've already watched.
Don't get me wrong. There's a place and time for that. The Office, very rewatchable. Seinfeld, very rewatchable.
I mean, I rewatched Home Improvement.
Okay, see, that would be another one for me yeah. I would say I could never see myself being like, I need more Tim the Tool Man in my life.
Like,
but I did watch it. I watched
like,
it a ton as a kid.
And it's good. And actually, that one holds up okay. Like, there's a couple, like, because mostly they don't do a lot of racial stuff. It's mostly like male, like feminism-y, you know, men, female stuff.
Yeah,
misogynistic stuff. So some of that is a little bit like, oh, I don't know if you could get away with that now. But even that, like, because of how it's set up, Tim's always being like in the wrong about that.
Yeah.
So, I think we're just different people. Like, there's a lot of shows that if I've watched them, I would 100% rewatch them.
You know, it's an auto rewatch for me, as in if it's on, I enjoy watching it all the time, is Impractical Jokers.
Oh.
They do like marathon runs, and I'll just leave it on. If I'm in a hotel room, because I don't get True TV at home, and I know that that's where it was on, and like it basically.
You'll just leave your hotel room on True TV.
It's just on there, and I'm like, this is funny. I've seen this episode, but watch this. This is so funny. Very rewatchable, and I know they're doing new seasons right now, so like whatever, but.
Have you ever watched, there's a British like reality show called Taskmaster. Have you ever watched any
of
them?
Never heard of it.
Okay. So basically it's like comedians. So it's for celebrities, but they have them, there's like five comedians every season and they like make them do ridiculous things and then they get arbitrary points. And then at the end, one of them like wins the,
it sounds like Whose Line Is It Anyway?
I mean, kind of, but.
Again, another great rewatchable show.
Yeah, they're not like doing sketch comedy.
Yeah.
They like do like just genuinely ridiculous like tasks. And it's hosted by Greg Davies. Do you know who that is?
Oh, yes.
Well, so he's the taskmaster. And then there's another comedian named Alex Horn, who is like the one that actually does all of the stuff with them. But I just like, I think it's really, really funny and it's definitely British humor. So if that's not your thing,
I don't recognize him.
Yeah, that's Greg Davies.
I typed him in, but I don't see.
And if that's not your thing, then you probably won't enjoy it. But
it depends what kind of British humor are we talking about? Because like British Office, it was fantastic. But like there are tons of British shows that I'm like, this is not funny, guys.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. You guys are great at soccer.
Yeah.
And what else do I love? I love your tea.
I don't know. Anyway, but that's the one for me that I just will turn on and watch. Because it's just like, well, and also I like.
Do you get the BBC channel?
No, I watch it on YouTube.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, I don't know. I rewatch things all the time. It's also partially because, if like I'm doing chores or stuff like, and I want just sound on that I can like kind of pay attention to and not pay attention to, I want something I've already watched.
Yeah.
Because then I don't care as much about missing parts of it.
That'd be a great party icebreaker question. What's a show that you consider to be rewatchable that everybody else would be like, I'm not doing that. What are you talking about? Because I definitely think that there are some out there. Like, I would not rewatch it, but if it's on TV, if Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives with Guy Fieri is on there, I'll leave it on.
Yeah.
I like that.
I leave it on, too.
I'm in for that.
Yeah.
And I know some people are like, oh, my gosh, can't stand that guy. Flavortown, get out of here. Whatever. But I don't know. It's interesting. And I'm not really like a cooking show typically person.
Yeah. But this is like mix of travel show, cooking show.
Yeah.
So,
and it's got a little, I think a little bit of, the hometown thing with him having come here and shot a few.
Yeah. He's done a few here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that makes it feel special. Nice. But
yeah.
Okay. That's probably good. Yeah. We're at 36 minutes. We should probably wrap this thing up. Sunday, Easter Sunday, 8, 9, 15, and 10:30. We'd love to have you in person. We'll be live streaming the normal 2 service times. We will not be live streaming the 8. I got to test out a lot of material and see what works. I'm just kidding. No, just
he's not kidding at all.
No. I will be testing stuff out to see if it works.
But yeah.
They are the guinea pigs. Come at 8 o'clock.
It's
be
really
a part of the
funny, though, because they're a totally different audience. Because, like, if it is mostly home teamers, they're going to laugh at a ton of different things than people who don't know you, right?
Correct.
Because people who know you laugh at some jokes you make because they know how dumb it was.
Yeah, because you're dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I sometimes will laugh at stuff you say that no one else laughs at because I'm like, that was so dumb.
You're laughing at me, not with me. Yes. Yeah. So come laugh at me at the 8 and then laugh with me or whatever at the 9:15, 10:30. That'd be great. All right, that'll do it for this week's episode. Have a great week, everybody. We will see you dressed in your finest on Sunday. Have a fantastic Easter weekend if we don't happen to see you. And we'll be back in 2 weeks because next week's spring break.
And you'll be gone,
I'll be gone again. So we'll be back in 2 weeks and carry this thing on. See ya.
All right, bye, everyone.